Paul, on the subject of baptism, I'd just like to read a few basic scriptures. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Isn't that interesting? He upbraided them because they didn't believe somebody else who saw him. I think that's great. It's going to put a lot of people in their place on Judgment Day. Well, if God wants me, he's going to have to come and visit me personally. I've heard people talk like that. He did it for Paul, he can do it for me. Pride just oozing out everywhere. You know, I'm as important as Paul, or whatever. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and the Lord confirming the word with signs following. He confirmed the word that they preached. Right? They preached baptism in Jesus' name. They practiced baptism in Jesus' name. They baptized everybody they baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And it says here, they went forth according to Jesus' command and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming what they preached. Oh, I tell you. Oh, I love that. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at Luke before we continue here. Luke 24, verse 36. Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? You need further proof? Let's have it. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And in his resurrected body, he took it and did eat before them. Boy, people have some crazy notions about what you're going to be like after you're resurrected. You're going to eat fish and honey. That's what Jesus did. There's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Spiritualize it all you want. This is what it says. He ate after his resurrection. And some people think we're going to be spirits floating around, unidentified spirits, you know? Kind of like UFO, something like that, you know? Oh, man. And he said unto them, These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. We baptize in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost that makes you talk in tongues when you receive it. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And they spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost in that upper room where they tarried according to Jesus' command. I don't know why people want to dilute all of this. I don't know why they want to wring baptism in Jesus' name out of it, and wring speaking in tongues out of it, and leave you with half of it or part of it. Until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And we lift up our hands. Praise the Lord. It's kind of a Pentecostal trademark. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking. Now, this is during that 40 days. These things are not recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and elsewhere. But he spoke to them for 40 days of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why should I not? Why should not I have confidence in the apostles? The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Praise the Lord. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same fish-eating, honey-eating Jesus, this same resurrected Jesus, hallelujah, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Whoa, what a doctrine. Praise the Lord. What a Bible. So I'll tell you what, baptism sounds pretty important to me. Some people say it's only a ceremony. Well, my answer to that is, so is a wedding. But without the ceremony, you're fornicating. You better get with the ceremony. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I have other things here I could talk about. The clock keeps moving. Okay. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Three specific points there. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. When you repent, that's your part. In Acts 2:38, you repent. I can't repent for you. You can't repent for me. The Bible says repent. That's a command to you. Before we know the Lord, and even after, but before we know the Lord, we have to repent of our sins before we're baptized in his name. That's the order the scripture gives. Your part is to repent. The minister's part is to baptize you. So, it's the people, it's the ministry, and then Jesus' part is to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Your part is to repent. My part's to baptize you. Jesus' part is to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Didn't Paul say we're workers together? Praise the Lord. Let's work together. Get the job done. Another little note we could make here, a point we could make here, is that repentance corresponds to Jesus' death, baptism corresponds to his burial, and the Holy Ghost responds to his resurrection. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how Christ died, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures. So the gospel has those three points. And our response to the gospel has those three points. We repent of our sins corresponding to his death. We're baptized in his name corresponding to his burial. And we receive the Holy Ghost to rise to walk in newness of life. That corresponds to his resurrection. Praise the Lord. And so we must repent. We must be baptized. We must receive the Holy Ghost. Why would anybody try to eliminate one of those points? Yeah. Jesus, I don't think you would have had to be buried. I think you could have just died and gone to heaven right from the cross. Sure, he could have, but he didn't. Could have done anything he wanted to do, but he didn't. He did it according to the scriptures. He was baptized according to the scriptures. He died, was buried, rose again. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, according to the scriptures, not according to what he might have wanted to do. No, and he wouldn't have wanted to, because he wanted to obey the scriptures. Why don't we want to obey the scriptures? Why do we say, I don't want to get baptized, or I don't want the Holy Ghost, or I don't think that it's necessary or something? Why do we treat God's word that way? Why don't we just go ahead and repent according to the scriptures, be baptized according to the scriptures, receive the Holy Ghost according to the scriptures, enjoy the fullness of the plan of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's me. That's the way I see it. Amen. Somebody wanted me to repeat this. I spoke it at their baptism, and I'm happy to do it. Is baptism optional? Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're not going to believe, no need to be baptized. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then we've already read Luke 24, where he said repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. In Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. In Acts 10:48, they received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. And Peter said, oh, I see, you have the Holy Ghost. It happened to you just like it did at us in the upper room. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think it's not optional. I think it's very, very important. Amen. Now, why in the world should I take a chance on someone else's opinion when I can read for myself? There's a principle in Holy Scripture. In Revelation 1:3, Jesus said, blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. And I've told this church over and over, don't take my word for it. Go home, read your Bible, look it up for yourself to see if these things are so. Amen. And then come back to me and we'll have discussions over anything that you misunderstood. But I shouldn't take somebody else's opinion. I should take the Word of God. Yeah. And I preach the Word of God, and then it's up to you to verify it. Read it yourself. Praise the Lord. What is so important about the formula? Why not just get baptized? And no, what difference does it make? The formula is very important. Acts 4:12 says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name to be baptized in. There's no other name to be saved in. There's no other name to cast out devils in. In my name, Jesus said. Why do we do everything in the name of Jesus except baptism? Well, thank God this church goes all the way and baptizes in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, even baptism. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that you got that revelation and that you know the truth today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, somebody said the formula is not always mentioned. The formula baptism in Jesus' name is not always mentioned. It just says that they were baptized, like it says in Acts 8:12, when Philip went down to Samaria. It says when the Samaritans believed Philip concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It doesn't say how they were baptized. But if you just read down a few more verses, verse 16 says, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus," which teaches us something. That if you read far enough and if you study deeply enough, you will learn that no matter what it says, how it was done originally is the way it's always done. Jesus died on a cross. Whenever you read about the death of Christ in the Bible, you don't always read that he died on a cross. But you do know from the story, from the scriptures, that Jesus died on a cross. Some people might say, well, I think he died of a heart attack. I think he died of a stroke. And so I think they were baptized this way, or I think they were baptized that way. We don't have any choice in the matter. We do it according to the scriptures. We don't have a choice on how Jesus died. He died according to the scriptures. We don't have a choice on how we can baptize. The apostles baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's all there is to it. And precedent was established on the day of Pentecost, when Peter said, "Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promises unto you, to your children, all that are afar off." Some people say the Holy Ghost is just for the Jews. And the Gentiles, something else. No, all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Whenever you read afar off, you're reading about the Gentiles anyway. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't take somebody else's opinion or somebody else's word for it. Read it for yourself. So when people say the formula is not always mentioned regarding baptism, you tell them neither is crucifixion always mentioned. Every time Jesus' death is referred to in Romans 5:6 and Romans 5:8 are good references there. Praise the Lord. So just because it's not mentioned, that's not meant to make the manner of his death preferential. You know, like I think he died of a heart attack, I think he died of cancer, I think he died of a gunshot wound. No. And we cannot just prefer one baptism formula over another. We are buried with him, not them. Romans 6:4, I think it is, says that we are buried with him in baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him. Now, if you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, you are killing God. You are saying that God died. You are saying the Holy Ghost died. Because you're buried with the Father and buried with the Holy Ghost? No! You're buried with the Son. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So what we're after when we read Matthew 28 and 19 is, what is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? What is the name of the Holy Ghost? And by the way, it doesn't say, what are the names? Plural. What is the name? One name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and by the name of Jesus. You can single it down to the name of Jesus. By the way, Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. In fact, I have right here in my hand two checks. Anybody want to cash them? I have a gospel tract here too. It says, "The Wonder of His Name." Huh. Wonderful. Written by Trinitarians. Listen, I'll just read the captions over some. In Jesus' name. The name of Jesus for salvation. The name of Jesus for effectual prayer. The name of Jesus for healing. The name of Jesus for deliverance from power of Satan. The name of Jesus in true worship. The name of Jesus for world missions. The majesty of his name. In Jesus' name. But the one thing they don't say, they refuse to print, is "get baptized in Jesus' name." And that's a Trinitarian tract. Powerful on the name of Jesus, but they refuse to baptize in Jesus' name because you're denying the Holy Trinity. I'm not the least bit afraid of denying the Holy Trinity, because the Bible says, let's try to find it here. Here I go, ad-libbing again. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now listen to this. Whosoever denieth the Son, if you deny Jesus, if you are a Jew that has never received the Messiah, you are a Jew or anybody on earth that has never received Jesus Christ as the Messiah, your Messiah, you have denied the Son, you can't have God. It's impossible to have God without having the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, Jew, Gentile, Greek, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what it said. So John is teaching us here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, if you deny the Son, you don't have any part of what they call the Trinity. You can't even have a piece of it. A man told me one time, look at the wonders of God right over here by the lake. He was talking about the sky, the stars, sun, moon, the beauty of the lake and how God created it all. And I said something about Jesus and he lost his temper and cussed me out. He said, I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about God. I don't believe in Jesus. He's an imposter and so on and so on. I believe in God. And I said to him, mister, you can't have God without having Jesus. The Bible says so. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Now listen to this. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. All you need to do is call on Jesus and they all come. Because it's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in him. There is no other. Praise the Lord. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Talked to a Trinitarian recently and I explained it to him. I said, well, you're saying there are three persons in the Godhead? I said, no, there's only, and I do this all the time, there's only one person in the Godhead. If you want to look up in Webster's dictionary and get the definition of the word person, kind of like a human being, you know, two eyes and two ears and two hands and two legs and so on. That's a person. And the Bible specifically states God is not a person. God is not a man. It specifically states God is not a man. It specifically states God is a spirit. The Bible says specifically that Jesus was a man. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. And then God is going to send his Son, Jesus, back again. God is a spirit. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God is a spirit. That spirit was without measure in the Son of God, the flesh of God, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says here, he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. If you have the Son, you have the Father. You don't even have to make an issue of it. But if you say you have God and you don't have Jesus, we better make an issue of it because you're lost. You are lost. But if you have the Son, you're saved. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was going to tell you about these checks I have here. It says here, Publishers Clearing House. You know how they appeal to your greed. What you could do with all this money. You could buy a home in Florida. You could buy a plane ticket to Hawaii. You wouldn't have to work another day in your life. You'd be able to buy a new car every year. Why, the neighbors would be looking at you and saying, oh, here it is. Pay the sum of, this is a little one here. This is old, years and years ago. $50,000 to the order of an authorized signature, Robert H. Treller. Now, here's another check. The Bank of Riches in Christ Jesus, resources unlimited, pay to the order of the bearer on demand. Believe it or not, they got it signed here, Christ Jesus. Now, I'd like to take them to the baptismal waters and say, would you like your check cashed? We have to have a signature here. If I wrote you a check for $1,000 and signed it Father, you took it down to the bank to cash it, you know what they would say to you? Well, what's your father's name? What is your father's name? You take a check to the bank, signed Father or signed Holy Ghost, and they will not honor it. But if you take it down there signed by you, your name, and you've got money in that bank, they will honor it. It doesn't, you can't get by with baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, because Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not names. You got to find out the name. Any heathen would ask you, if you went to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, they'd say, well, wait a minute, what's the name? I want to know the name. Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost's not a name, but Jesus is the only name whereby we must be saved. Don't ever forget it. Jesus is the only name, only name, only name whereby we must be saved. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, a oneness Pentecostal preacher said to me one time when he wanted a preacher to come to my church and preach, and I was a little suspicious. I said, just before I was where I am in the UPC today, and I said, how does this fellow baptize? Because he was fellowshipping with Trinitarians, and I didn't want somebody here that's going to preach baptism in the titles. So I said, how does this fellow baptize? He said, what's so important about baptism in Jesus' name? I recorded it. I wrote it down word for word. What's so important about baptism in Jesus' name? He's a good preacher, Brother Tanberg. Well, what's so important to God, a good preacher, that's not preaching baptism in Jesus' name?
That's right.
Praise the Lord. There are so many attempts, myriad attempts, to lessen the importance of baptism in Jesus' name. Over and over, I discovered this. I was in San Antonio, Texas one time, and somebody was at the church where I was, and he was up there preaching. And of course, they had this mixed crowd, you know. And so he says, and this guy was a good preacher again. And I quoted his words. I don't know how I baptized them. I was speaking in tongues all the time I was baptizing. And everybody on his side jumped up to their feet. Yay, yay. You know how they do when they say, preach it, brother, preach it. One girl comes running down the aisle, stood right there. Preach it, preach it. I don't know how I baptized. I couldn't stop from speaking in tongues. What was I supposed to do? Quit baptizing until I could talk English again? I think you better baptize right. Besides that, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That's what the Bible says. You can stop talking tongues long enough to baptize somebody, right? Praise the Lord. That's one experience I had. I was right there when the debate was on. And so on. Okay. A good sister, my wife and I sat with down south in a restaurant, said to me that a minister told her, well, I accept your baptism. Why won't you accept mine? Just another attempt to lessen the importance of baptism in Jesus' name. I accept yours. Why won't you accept mine? That's like a Buddhist saying, I accept Jesus. Why won't you accept Buddha? About the same thing, isn't it? It's kind of like, I'll go to church with you if you go to the synagogue with me. The synagogue, I refer to the old covenant when we have the new. Are you going to try to merge and mix the old covenant with the new? That's what they try to do in the book of Acts. Boy, they Paul got on them for that. And Galatians too. Paul really got on them for that. He even got on Peter for that. You don't mix it. The old and the new. The old covenant and the new. No. We're not saved by the law and by grace. We're saved by grace. Without the deeds of the law, the Bible says. But I'll go to church with you if you go to the synagogue with me. I'll get baptized in Jesus' name if you get circumcised. Something like that. You know? You keep the law. Another one says, well, my heart was right when I was baptized. My heart was right when I was baptized according to Matthew 28:19. God knows my heart. So I see no need to be rebaptized. Well, I do. I see a need to be rebaptized. Now, this person said, and I have it quoted, "My heart was right when I was baptized," according to Matthew 28:19, "so I see no need to be rebaptized." Answer, Acts 2:38 is according to Matthew 28:19. Amen. And Acts 2:38 is not a nameless formula. This brother, sister, if we don't stand strong in the Word of God, you're going to start diluting it, you're going to start mixing it, you're going to start losing it. And you're going to make a few enemies along the way. But I'm trying to show you how to keep friends by answering these questions logically with a good spirit. Okay? Then somebody else says, "I received the Holy Ghost in the water immediately after being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. So why do I need to be rebaptized?" Cornelius' household received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. Their hearts must have been right. Nevertheless, Peter said, "I command you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." They were still commanded to be baptized. Your heart being right doesn't exempt you from obeying the rest of the Bible. Just because your heart was right and you obeyed one thing doesn't mean you're exempt from everything else. No. Amen. So, receiving the Holy Ghost before being baptized doesn't exempt you from baptism. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. See, truth doesn't change. We accept or reject truth, not on the basis of a right heart, but on the basis of the Word of God. Yes. Now, if a person's heart, here's a tough one. Listen to me. If a person's heart was right before baptism, why then is it not right when presented with more truth?
Amen.
We'll let that one sink down in. Shall I repeat it? If a person's heart was right before they were baptized, why is it not right when presented with more truth?
Yes.
Let's go on. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Amen. Well, another one. These are all experiences I've had. "You can't tell me that so-and-so is lost. She hasn't been baptized, but she lives a better Christian life than a lot of people I know that have been baptized." How do you answer something like that? You kick God off the throne and you say, "Let me sit there and judge this, Lord." That's what you do. You just take His place, don't you? Sure, you don't think God can handle those cases, so you're going to assume the throne. Oh, how foolish we mortals can be. Leave God on the throne. Let Him do the judging. We'll just preach the Word. And we won't preach a changed or altered word. We'll preach the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, first of all, when somebody says, "You can't tell me she's lost, she hasn't been baptized, she lives a better Christian life than people that have been baptized," you can tell them this: obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Just obey the Word of God. Beside that, the Bible is the basis, not someone's life. Somebody lived a good life. That has nothing to do with it. What saith the Word of God? We have to go according to the Word of God, not about how good somebody is. What about a man who is on his way to be baptized? I've had this question asked me. And he's killed in an accident before he gets baptized. Is he lost? Well, again, God is the righteous judge. I am not going to take His place on the throne and judge these situations. The real point is, what is my excuse? Take that again. What about a man who's on his way to church to be baptized in Jesus' name and he's killed in a car accident on the way to church before he's baptized? Is he lost? The point is, what's my excuse for not being baptized? That's the point. What's my excuse for not receiving the truth and being baptized in Jesus' name? See, it never was for me to decide who's saved and who's lost. God sent me to preach the gospel, not decide who is lost and who is saved. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. God told him what to preach. He may not have liked it, but that's the only message God gave him. And he had to preach what God gave him, or he was a false prophet. And Jesus didn't call him a false prophet. Thought he was great. So Jonah was sent to Nineveh to preach what God told him to preach. But separating sheep from goats is God's business. And God decided what he would do with Nineveh. Amen. So preaching the word is my part, but salvation is his to give or withhold. That's his. He's the judge. I got to go on preaching. I got to preach the whole counsel of God, the full word of God, whether we live up to it or not. That's all I have to preach. I can't look at us and see how good we're doing or how well we're doing and then preach our highest standard. No, I cannot lower myself to preach our highest standard. I have to preach this standard right here, the Holy Bible.
That's good. That's good.
Whether it hits every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody asked me, what about the thief on the cross? Well, I personally feel that the thief on the cross would have been more than willing to come down from the cross and be baptized in the name of the one that, while hanging on the cross, he called Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Lord. I think the thief would have come down to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I also know people whose hearts seem to be right and who seem to live good lives, but we don't search people's lives for the truth. We search the scriptures. Amen. I have more. I better quit. Time's up. I have thought about this, and I even typed it out. Water baptism should be in obedience to the Word of God. And water baptism should be a commitment, among other things. Americans are quite often an uncommitted people. We're uncommitted to our marriage vows. We said till death do us part. And sorry, God, but I'm not enjoying this marriage, so I think I'll terminate it. We're an uncommitted people. We don't keep our commitments. We don't keep our promises to our bosses, people we work for. We don't keep our commitments to other people. I just noticed that in America. A lot of Americans sometimes are an uncommitted people. We have a dire lack of respect and lack of worship in America. Thank God for this church, but we're not where we should be. We could say we're the best church in the world, but have we come up to God's standard? The best church in the world is not the standard. God's word is the standard. So here, water baptism. Would it be okay to have people sign a statement before being baptized in water? Maybe you can improve on this. Quote, by being baptized in the name of Jesus and into his death, I hereby commit myself to him. I understand that I am now his property and relinquish all of my rights. I will reckon myself dead to sin and alive to God. Maybe we should all repeat our vows.